Blog Talk Radio.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice. The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.
Welcome to Saturday Symposium, and we apologize for being absent this last few months. Been pretty busy, and we're finally back, and down here in Florida, it's 58 degrees, so it's kind of chilly, and
a little chilly, yeah. It's up here, it'd be a heat wave.
Yeah, it was, we had 70 mile an hour winds yesterday. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, big front came through, and now we're freezing our cabooses off. So what is it up there in North Dakota, Gary?
Well, we just got done having a little bit of snow here, but it's actually a nice day today. It's it's probably about 24, 25 degrees, and it's sun is out, and it's actually kind of nice to see the sun once in a while, because most of the time it's cloudy at this time of the year and it's gloomy, and when that sun comes out, it just brightens everything up, and it's beautiful, actually, when you look out there, and it's all white, and it's kind of pretty in a way, because the sun reflects different colors, kind of like a prism on the snow, you know, and I kind of like this time of year, especially around Christmas, and Christmas lights are lit up, and it's just a festive time, and I did download a couple of songs here on your studio here, so hopefully they turn out. We can play them a little later, maybe close with one of them or something. But anyway, anything new on the political front? I was pretty busy too, Dan. I didn't even get a chance to check in politics. I was working long double shifts, you know, hauling corn to the ethanol plant and all over the, well, actually all over the area here. Not just there, but I hauled it, you know, all the way up north and over east and hauled all over the place. And the combine, well, he had about 60 acres there when I come home Thursday night, and they didn't go yesterday because it was very gloomy, foggy, and, of course, icy. The sieves freeze up. If it gets a little ice on the sieves, it'll freeze up, and then you're shut down. So, but today they probably will finish it. They only had about 60 acres left, so hopefully they'll get her done. And I can have a little time to do these shows because I was tied up every day, 7 days a week. And after a while, you get a little burnt out from it. So, but anyway, turn it back to you, my buddy.
Oh, I can imagine being in a combine 7 days a week. You know, get a little bit of saddle sore.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah. Go ahead.
Anything new on the political front? Anything you want to tell us, sir?
Well, I mean, we're still battling with the wall. I mean, that's, Democrats are fighting us tooth and nail. And, which doesn't make any sense at all. You know, they're saying they can do it by drones. And you can't cover, you know, 3,000 miles of border with a drone. Or even with a couple of drones. And even if you can, by the time you find, somebody crossing the border, by the time you try to get somebody over there, Border Patrol agent, they're long gone. And the only feasible way of doing it is build a good wall, you know?
Well, that's
and,
true. But you know, the Democrat Party, they want the votes. That's, they don't even care about the drone. That's just how something they say that's political, you know, they try to tell you that they're for border security. They're really not. But they'll say, oh, have drones, stuff like that. But they want those people coming in so because they get their votes. Because their ideology now is so unpopular, the American people reject it. So now we have to have people coming in illegally and have them vote so they keep staying in power. That's what it's all about. We need to protect our country. They don't care about our security, the Democrats. They don't care. You know, and that's sad because, next major attack, and there will be other attacks, they'll just blame the NRA or white Christian males, you know. That's what they do now. So I always said, too, maybe it's time we should concentrate and voting these people out permanently, just vote them out of power. They're dangerous. They should not be in power. They, a lot of them deserve to be in prison instead of in the halls of Congress. And what do you think on that, Dan?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I could name a bunch of people, and I don't know if you looked at my page. It was Bill Clinton on the outside of a cell, and Hillary sitting on the inside of a cell. And he goes, Diego. And then I told him that you had moved into a gated community.
Oh. That's a good one.
That was a good one. I thought that was pretty funny.
Based on the truth, you know, that's what humor should be, you know, based, because I think I've been close to 90% of the people probably believe Hillary should be indicted, you know, but the problem is it's not going to happen, you know. She's got power and they can commit the crimes and get away with it. That's what's sad about it, you know.
Oh, look at what Comey's getting away with, and, you know, the Mueller case, and, you know, they're just, you know, being allowed to do whatever they darn well please, and it's time to change things and make this the country we're supposed to be. You know, maybe if we all pray to Santa this year, he'll bring that all for next year. I'm telling you, it's been terrible. Politics are driving me crazy. You know, it's one thing after another. It's like they get away with lying all the time. You know, the only thing good I like about it is that I know, you know, someday in the future, they're going to have to answer to the guy upstairs. And I'm sure that glad I'm not him. I'm not dumb.
That's exactly right. They're going to be answering too. So, you know, if anything else, that's, you know, they will be judged, and they'll be judged properly. You know, eventually, of course, we can't even say that anymore because in their minds, there's no God. See, they think God is man-made, and it's they'll find out. You know. Find out
exactly. I mean, it's just the opposite. Yeah.
Exactly.
God isn't man-made. God made man.
That's true. He made everything.
Exactly. You know, including the skeeters.
Yep, the skeeters. I don't know why he did that, but I suppose it's kind of the test of time, you know. We got to have to have something that irritates us on Earth, you know, skeeters, flies, insects, all types of little critters that are annoying, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I figure, you know, once in a while he has a little bit of a sense of humor. Yeah, I'll annoy that out of them.
Yeah, true.
That's the way I look at it. That's why I say God's worst joke in mornings.
So what do you have planned for Christmas there, my friend? What's going on? What are you going to be doing for Christmas? You going to kind of stay put? Are you and Barb going to spend time together? Or are you going to go up and be with family? Or what's going on there, my friend?
No, I'm spending it alone. So, me, myself, and I, you know, Barb and I broke up, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She told me to hit the road. So, and now with my dad dead and nobody within 1,500 miles, you know, family is a little too far to travel. So,
yeah, that is a long distance, that's for sure. So, well, that's too bad, but yeah, I wish we lived a little closer. I'm about 2,000 miles. That's a long ways to go too, and It'd be kind of fun if we lived closer, like within 40, 50 miles, we could get together. I'd have you spend it with our family, you know, if you'd enjoy that. And, you know,
well, come on down here.
What's that?
I'd then move down to Florida.
I may end up doing that eventually, but you never know. But anyway, like I said, you're already kind of a taste of my family. My sister's called, or I called my sisters, you know, on the last show with Jennifer Rubin, you know, and they talked, and you kind of know who they are and stuff. So, we're all fun loving. That's the way we are. We like to have a lot of laughs. And by the way, Jennifer called me a couple days later, and she had just had a blast coming on our show. She enjoyed that immensely. So, and that was good to hear from her. You know, I was unloading a load of corn, and I could hear the tractor running and everything. I'm sure she heard all that. I had a little hard time hearing her because, you know, you're sitting in a cab there, the noise is pretty loud. So, but she just had a blast on our show, and she's kind of like a sister to me because we've been really good friends for 8 years, you know, we got to know each other pretty well. So, and someday she wants to meet all of us, by the way, too. You know,
that would be great.
All right, someday in the future, it'd be great, you know, because I'm going to be honest with you, Dan. Some of these people in Hollywood, some of them, they're probably everybody's around. Some of them are very lonely. I mean, she's retired from acting, and she's a swimming coach now. But, she, you know, sometimes it gets kind of lonely there, you know, because Hollywood can be a very cold, dark place, too, you know. So, but.
Once you get past that age where you're handsome, you know, like Burt Reynolds died not that long ago, and he was living alone, you know, and when you're no longer a star or a starlet, you know, they just forget about you, even though you have your millions of dollars. Yeah, money doesn't buy you everything.
It might get you security, but it doesn't buy you happiness. You know, happiness is having loved ones around you and stuff like that. So, you and I, we both have big hearts, and we'll do what we can to, you know, be their friends and be by their side. And I told her exactly what I just told you now. I said, we're going to be your friend. And I said, we both exchanged phone numbers. And she gave me hers. I gave her mine. I said, you want to talk about anything? You just feel free to call me. I said, told her I was married. Of course, I am. And I said, if we get together, I said, my wife and I would be happy to meet you, you know, any place.
Well, I'm single.
I'll tell her that. Yeah, she's in our age range. So, you know. She's got big
yeah,
heart
she
herself,
likes
so.
Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I can't handle L.A. Sorry.
Oh, I can't either.
Too many people. I mean, I remember going into, during the week for work, going into Los Angeles. Man, world's biggest parking lot.
I went on Google Earth, and I could get an aerial view, and I looked in there. It was so many. I mean, the roads aren't straight. They're all crooked. They're all curved. I said, how in the heck would you ever find your way around? If you had an address, how would you ever find it? You get lost in there. And maybe it's not as hard as it looked, but from the aerial view, it looked complicated to me. I mean,
it's worse.
I'd get lost in there. Yeah.
There's one area where you have to, if you're on I-10 and you want to get onto the 405, you got to change 9 lanes.
Ooh.
And it's like nobody wants to let you in. So if you aren't coming around that corner in the right 3 lanes, think, you know, you're going to be going for a ride somewhere, and the police weren't very nice, because I was, you know, I didn't know where to ask. I was, you know, somewhere downtown, and I was trying to find my way back to get onto the darn highway, and I asked the police officer, he just looked at me and drove away. I was like, well, that wasn't very hospitable.
Well, that's not what you're paying them. You know, they're not paying us. We're paying the police officers. And part of their job, if you have trouble or something, you go up and talk to them, ask them, and they're supposed to help you. You know,
right. And, you know, out of state plates says, I don't know where I'm going. And if I'm in a bad part, I want to get out of here.
Oh, I don't blame you. And I tell you what helps, though, you can get these little computer devices that they find. You say, for instance, you want to go to a certain place, and it'll tell you how to get there. All the streets, I'll tell you, turn left here at such and such a street, and it take you right up.
Oh, yeah, the GPS, but this was well before the GPS days. And, you know, I use GPS today all the time. But back in those days, didn't have it. You know, you're trying to rely on a map. And right that at the end of I-10, it is like a mass of roads that all come in together. And it's like, forget it. I mean, as I said, you're in the wrong lane. You're toast.
So, I think if I ever went there to visit somebody, I'd probably get a cab or something and have somebody know where to go. I wouldn't even drive there, you know.
It's not fun to drive, I'll tell you. It took me once. I was at a trade show. And I left on a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. I didn't get home until 10 p.m. to do what would be a 2-hour drive normally. Well, I mean, it was like, you know, after a while you start pulling your hair out. I don't have much to pull out anymore, so.
I've been hauling like corn and stuff around here, and I drive all these little towns up here. These, you could pick a rock up, I think, and throw it high in there, and they'd go across town. You'd end up on the other side. Some of these towns, they're not even towns, they're more like communities. I mean, you can look through it, and they, usually what's happening now, you don't have any restaurants anymore. It's just basically an elevator there, a grain elevator, probably 10 or 15 houses, and that's it. And there's very few restaurants. If you want a restaurant, you got to go to a little bigger town. And for us, you know, if a town's like under 300 people, you know, if you don't have a restaurant, you know, like Wimbledon, we're pretty lucky. We have a restaurant, but it's, you know, they close at like 2 in the afternoon. And there's a post office there and a bank. And for some reason, most towns don't have anything like that anymore. The schools, they consolidated to one big school. And we have one here, too, the Wimbledon School in the town. They're closed, and all the kids went to North Central Barnes. Now they're all in that one thing that's out in the country right by the main travel highway. And, you know, and that said, too, it's kind of a bad place to put a school because there's a lot of vandals drive around that like to shoot things. And, you know, at 2 in the morning, someone could be driving by and fire into the school at 2 in the morning with a high-powered rifle, and they'd never catch them because, you know, when you're driving by, you aren't going to catch anything on camera. They're sure the security cameras they have them there, but, you know, at night there's nothing there. They don't even have infrared stuff, so you couldn't see them anyway. And, you know, I mean, I said it's going to happen. It won't be long. Somebody's going to start doing stuff like that. Because it's out there in the middle of nowhere where nobody's living, and it's, you know, somebody's going to drive by at 2 in the morning, maybe after they've been drinking all night, and then they'll end up shooting at school, and then they'll hear it, you'll read about it or hear it on the radio show the next day on the radio, you know, they've vandalized school been hit or something. Anyway, it hasn't happened yet, but I think it's going to eventually happen because right by a main traveled highway, and you know, you see road signs always shot up. You see them too. They're going to.
Oh yeah.
Somebody's going to pull it. You know, they're going to do it. They ended up one time, to be honest with you, they had a power station there, a substation right by the same highway at by Highway 1, Highway 9. Shot into that was shot into it with AR-15, took the power out, put people's power out. They shot into the.
Oh yeah, it hit one of those coils, and went ahead and it short circuited the whole thing out. I mean,
and the people do it. They're just mean, you know. They just do it, just and it, you know, you're lazy. And like right now at this time of year, you need to have power. You need to have heat. You know, you need electricity to run your furnaces and stuff. And if you lose power, it doesn't take long, especially if it's down to 20 below, for your house gets pretty darn cold in 6 hours, you know what I mean? So, you know,
oh,
that's a cool thing to do. And it's expensive, you know, very expensive to fix them, you know. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there, you know, waiting 6 or 7 hours. If you don't have a... you know, a fireplace, you can be real jelly, you know, and that's why you live in Florida. Ain't
yeah,
no
really
below 50.
You would never have to worry about your house freezing down there, so anyway.
Oh, no, don't need the heater coils around all the pipes and all that stuff. Thank God. Been there, done that.
Well, you know, you said that, you know, occasionally it does freeze down there. It doesn't very often, but occasionally. But even if it does, I mean, your house will never freeze. The pipes will never freeze in the house. It'll never get that cold inside the house because it, you know, it takes a long time for that to happen. But, you know, up here, pipes can freeze. And, boy, I've seen that down in Jamestown. Somebody shut the power off in the house, and they left it over winter, fine over winter, and everything froze up. And then in the spring, they had a flooded basement, and it was just a very expensive process to fix everything up. You know, you had to fix to replace all the pipes because they all split, you know, from the frozen water. And, you know, down there, I don't think you'd have to worry about that. It might get cold down there, I'm sure, but... and you need a heater, but, it, you know, in fact, I think if you even have a stove, somebody thinks you can open the oven up, turn the heat on, or turn the oven on, and run a fan there, and that'll actually heat the house up, too, a little bit. But if you lose power, you can't even run a stove unless you have a gas stove, you know.
Exactly. So. And down here, it would never get cold enough because, you know, your house never really gets below 30, and those pipes take them to the teens, you know, 15, 20, before they're going to start freezing up on you. And, you know, once that happens, and I don't care if it's copper, PVC, it just splits, and then you've had it. I mean,
well, do you know what they did up here at Mom's house?
What?
They put some, because we've had pipes freezing all the time under the ground. The pipes would freeze in the wintertime. It got really cold. And anyway, what they did is they replaced the copper pipes with expandable rubber pipes. They expand so they never split. So they're made for cold weather like this, although they freeze up and, of course, water won't flow through it. But still, it won't split them, and it'll be fine in the spring. We just can't use the sink in the washroom because that's where it freezes there, you know. But we have another sink in the kitchen to wash your hands, but one in the washroom will freeze up, and at least that you save your pipes that way. It's a pretty slick outfit. I mean, it allows for expansion. So that's a good invention there, you know.
Oh, yeah. And if you're patient enough to take a torch to it, you know, keep on running it back and forth until
you
melt.
Also, you can get heat tape. They call it heat tape, and you wrap it around, you plug it in, and it takes about 3-4 hours, but that'll that'll heat it up and thaw it. It doesn't get hot enough to hurt anything. It's probably 100 degrees, but it'll heat it up. You just wrap it around about 2 inches apart all the way around, and it's a little amber-colored light. When you plug it in, it lets you know the thing is working, and it takes about 2-3 hours, and all at once you see it drip in the sink, and when you start getting it to water flow, and all at once you'll break loose, and then you got water
right.
again. So we put heat tape in there, but I can't get in that little hole anymore. You got to be really tiny to get in that little hole. They didn't make those crawl spaces big enough for people like our size, But
no,
anyway.
I've tried to get into them.
The
one built
in there.
1700s. Man, those places are small. And, you know, back in the 1700s, they were small people. And not like today, when we're all built like buffalo mooses. And you get yourself, you know, trying to get to somewhere, you end up stuck and trying to wiggle your way out, and I hate that. So what are you having the whole family over for, all the victims?
Well, I'm going down to Valley City and spend time with my family. Now, my wife, I can't be with my wife because she works. She works that day, so we can't. But we're going to celebrate another day for her. We're going to be down on the 28th of this month, and she has that day off, so we'll celebrate down there. But she has to work, so I guess I'll have to go two spots, which isn't too bad, I guess. I can spend time with my immediate family. My sisters will be there, and my mom, and of course my dad's passed away. But yeah, that'd be kind of fun. You know, get together.
Well, you know, something. Yeah, this way you get to pick out twice.
Yeah, that's about it, yeah. Spoil myself twice.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I mean, I'm just going to make myself some macaroni and cheese. Real exciting.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good, too. I like macaroni and cheese. Sometimes a simple dish like that is better than some of the more expensive ones, you know.
Well, I do it on my own. I just get shredded cheddar, and I taste some milk, mix everything up. I had a little, I put on top, I put on Wheaties. And it ended up being pretty good. So, that's what I think I'm going to have for my Christmas dinner. You know, because buying going out and getting a ham and, for one thing, I'd be having ham for the next 2 years.
That's true. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care as much for ham as I do for, like, turkey. Ham, it just seems like you have too much salt in it or something. You know, if it's made right, I guess it's good, but if it's not made right, I've had ham where it's so salty you couldn't eat it, you know. And, I like turkey and dressing. A lot smothered with, and mashed potatoes smothered in gravy, even though mashed potatoes is a no-no for someone with diabetes. And,
yeah, I know, but once in a while,
once in a while. And I actually had my blood work done. I had some blood work done, and I've been eating some, like, pizza and stuff, and it didn't, I thought it was going to be high, but it wasn't too bad. It was a 122. It's a little high, but it was, in fact, below the threshold for diabetes. The diabetes starts at 125. Mine was 122, so, and that's after eating, you know, pizza and pumpkin pie and stuff like that. Now, I'm one of these, what they call it, borderline or something, because she said at 122, will never hurt you. I mean, it isn't high enough where it's going to do damage to your organs. You know, so I felt pretty good about that, you know.
Yeah, you might be on borderline and you know, I know Barb used to be able to cheat periodically, and, you know, with no negative recourse, so, you know, I don't know anything about her, diabetes, other than those little needles hurt after a while, you know, they heat.
You know,
until you hit them every day and say, ow.
Well, they ended up, too, when they did the blood work, I think every 3 months I have to do this, and they ended up finding out my cholesterol just marginally a little high. So they put me on, I don't even know what it's called, but it's once a week I take a pill. Pill a week, and it's I know they always have these scientific names for these drugs. It's like, it's almost like a name for a rat poison or something, but it's I can't even read it. I don't have my glasses. Prevacetino. That's a weird name, but that's what it's called, and it's supposed to, I suppose it's beta blockers or whatever it is, and it's supposed to lower my cholesterol, but it's just marginal again. Everything's marginal with me. I'm not into a danger class, you know. But he said it'll help prevent a heart attack, so my heart's weak, and it'll protect my heart. And I said, right now I'm on 5, and I said, they keep adding on more and more prescriptions for me. I can be able to open my own pharmacy. What's going on? You know, so many different types of drugs.
I'm telling you, right now I'd be a millionaire if I opened a pharmacy 20 years ago. You know, I mean, I take 40 pills a day. So, I mean, trying to keep track of them all is a burr.
Oh, yeah. And then
you know,
you have to worry about some pills reacting.
Running out.
Sometimes one pill is, you know, is a good. And side effects, so far I've been lucky. I've had any side effects or nothing yet. So maybe I'm one of these that okay with you know, the pills, but I don't like, if I'd be up to me, I wouldn't want to take any, you know, but the person's got to if you want to stay alive, and the thought of getting a stroke or a heart attack isn't too appealing to me, so I'll take the pills just to stay alive, you know. So.
Well, that's what most people think, you know, and, you know, a heart attack or a stroke can take you out so quick. And, you know, then you're messed. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Your loved ones are messed with a mess, and it's not worth it. So, you know, it's, you know, you just, you don't want to go through that. And,
no.
But it's good to have a critter. Yeah, I gotta go out and get myself a new dog.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, she went out and officially grabbed custody of the dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the dog will keep you company and stuff too. We got a couple of dogs too. I'm not an expert with what they're called, you know, but as long as they're friendly and stuff, that's what matters to me, you know. So I'm not a, you know, person that understands you know, the breeds and stuff too much, because to me it doesn't matter. It's just what their attitude is. I've seen some dogs, and I think a lot, most of them are never vicious, but if somebody's mean to them, then they get vicious, because that's instinctive, you know. But if people are treating them good, they're just like big babies, you know. I mean, our dogs are like big babies because we spoil them, you know. But they never bare their teeth at anybody, you know. They're very friendly in that respect, you know. But we have one dog that, when he was little, he had to carry him, to, you know. He wanted to be carried just like a little child would be, you know. And most animals are like that. We had pigs the same way. You know, if we have a pig, it wouldn't eat. It wouldn't take the bottle unless you had them in your hand. You had to hold on to the pig, and and feed him with the bottle. You know, he's just like a baby. He wouldn't, otherwise he wouldn't take, drink any milk. And that's kind of like with our, one of our dogs. He's getting bigger now, so he's getting over that. And we're kind of training him to take care of himself. But when he was little, he's just like a little baby, whine, you know, like a baby would. And, you know, there's a lot of human traits in animals like that, you know. So...
Well, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's going to take a little while for, you know, to kick in or something, you know. Who knows? You know, these medications and things, you know. Sorry if I'm sounding a little tired. I am.
I am too a little bit, but I said, you know, it's been a while since we've done a show, and it's kind of fun to do it. And if we need to, if we get a little tired, maybe we can shut her down after an hour, and then when it hit her after New Year's, really good, you know, and try to get some guests and stuff. And yeah, at least I won't be working, you know, weekends anymore. If I'd be working, it'd be during the week, and I'll be hauling. I got about, let's see, we got 120. Almost 200,000 bushels of corn to haul out. So, but that'll only be a 4 to 5 day a week job. So weekends are off and I'm free. But then we can hit the show and I'll see if I can get some guests if I can. I'm getting scarce on the guests because I've got pretty much all my friends covered and that I know that want to come on. There's other ones that just don't want to come on the show. They're shy. They even said, I don't know what to say and stuff, and they just don't want to come on. They feel they'd humiliate themselves or something. And I tell them, nobody ever humiliates themselves. We have a lot of fun on the show, and we pretend like there's nobody that listens to us. We just like talking to each other like we're sitting in a room and just visiting, like over a holiday or something. And, you know, we're not even aware of the audience, you know. So and that's the way it should be. Just have fun and be yourself, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, I love the holidays. This is why this one's going to be kind of a bummer for me. But what are you going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't ever ask them out again.
Things change a lot, though, too, you know, over the years, you know. It's, you know, some of your loved ones aren't with us anymore, and, you know, and it just seems like things, you know, it's just different. I don't know. It just seems different to me, but I guess that's just life. Everything's different, you know. So, but, you know, you got to, sometimes you just got to make do with what you got, and, you know, like I said, you know, just keep in touch with your friends. You got a phone, and you know, you write letters or whatever, and you know, stuff like that. And you know, do they have like places that people like you can go to? You know, like I said, if you're alone, just go out, maybe a place you can eat or something, or like that, or you know, you can get to know people like that. That'd be kind of fun too. We've done that. You know, my wife and I, like a church group or something like that. Dan? Hello? Dan, I don't know what he's doing, but he's not on the phone. Dan?
Oh, hello? Sorry. I said I'm a little tired today.
One of those days, you know.
Why don't we
close the show in 15 minutes, or why don't we just play some Christmas music? I got some download. You want to play it and see what it sounds like? Or
we can do that, or, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. It's usually I'm leaving the show, and... today I was trying to let you
I'll play one I downloaded. I have never heard it yet. So I'll upload it on here, Javon. This is called Angels We Have Heard on High. We'll play that just to have a little Christmas music. Here we go.
Okay.
Share some of your Christmas memories with us. Feel free to do so. We want to hear it, you know, because we've had ours. And, you know, if you want to call in, just feel free. You know, our number is 347-205-9620. And give us a call, you know, and tell us.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
My favorite memory? Oh, I had a lot of favorite. But when I was a little kid, I remember coming over to Grandma's house, you know, and having a big meal, opening presents, and I remember we'd have paper. I'd open all the presents up, and we'd have paper so thick on the floor. You couldn't even see the floor, you know, because it was so full of paper. We had to pick all that up, you know. And I remember we had, we just had oodles of toys. I still got all those toys, you know, but back then they made them out of metal. They weren't made out of metal.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Tonka toys.
Oh, yeah, Tonka toys. It had some of these wind-up toys, you know. I remember it had an old caterpillar, and you'd wind it up, and it would throw little sparks up the exhaust pipe. It had a little wheel, and it looked like a little grindstone, and it would throw sparks, and it would go along. It looked like the engine was running, you know, kind of had an engine sound like that. That thing still works yet, by the way. Hell, after all these years, it's probably 55 years old, and the thing still works. The spring isn't broken or nothing. That's when they built toys to last. I mean, and
they're
collector's items now. They're probably worth money, but I'm never going to sell it because there's a lot of memories. So what's your favorite memory there, my friend?
Toy-wise, we got these, they're kind of like BB guns, except for they shot round corks.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, those things hurt when you got them, when you got hit by them. But it was fun to play with them. You know, my mother saying, get out of the house, and bing, bing, bing. Like, and then what I loved is at the end of the day, and then we got a hockey set 1 year, and remember those hockey when you have the one puck, and you know each person has a slidey thing, and try to get a goal, and they had people in the way.
You'd
remember it if you saw it, but those things were pretty cool. And what I also really like is, believe it or not, is after you open up all the presents and the whole living room is covered with, wrapping paper, you threw it in the fireplace, and each color would burn a different color. So the fire was... Yeah, the fire was actually putting out different colors. Was that cool?
Wow, okay. All right, I've heard of that. Huh, okay.
Yeah, I used to like that.
We used to get these pine cones. You know, you could buy them. They're commercial. They weren't real pine cones, but they were made and you threw them in the fire like that, and they'd burn different colors. They'd have a green. Actually, some of them had green flame, and some were purple or kind of violet color, and they had red, you know, and stuff like that. And I remember that, you know. And they'd burn.
Yeah, they would just do it with the paper, though. Yeah, I remember the pine cones. Except for, you know, when they popped. You know, when they... finally reach that seeds popping stage, you know, go bang. You're like, whoa. But I used to love, getting the sleds out and sledding down the hills and, we got our own presents. And then we got a together present, which was bigger.
We would during the day, we'd go out sledding and doing the same thing you did, kind of going out sledding. Every once in a while, you get a face plant into the snow, cold snow right into the face. You go head first into the snowbank, but it was fun. Then I remember going out, even with Dad, you know, we'd go out and shooting, 22s to set up 10 cans and plink 10 cans in the afternoon, and we'd usually have our Christmas dinner, and then we'd help Mom wash the dishes, and then after that, we all did a little shooting, and at night, we'd open presents. We'd always open them probably about 6 o'clock. We'd go out and do chores first, about 5. Do our chores, feed the pigs, feed the cattle, and make sure everything's good out there, come back in, clean up a little bit, and she'd have some snacks and stuff, and we'd open presents, and we'd have cheese and crackers and... she had other hors d'oeuvres sitting there, and of course the sweets. She always liked to have the candy, these. She'd have these homemade like rosettes and stuff, and she'd have whipped cream,
right.
Fill them up with whipped cream or chocolate mousse, and they were good. I mean, better than anything you could ever buy. But we'd have it was a great old time. I still have old 8mm movies, silent movies of us when we were little kids, and. You bought this big old tree, it would rotate on a turntable, and it was a silver artificial tree, of course, and she'd have a color wheel, and it was really pretty, actually. It looked really festive, and she'd have all the windows lit up with lights, and stuff like that. And I remember going out in the morning, before we even go, have Christmas dinner, we'd go out and do the chores in the morning. And she'd have all those lights plugged in. It was just really pretty. When we were down at the barn, which is about 100 yards away, you got the whole view of it, and it was very pretty that way. And it was kind of nice, we don't do that anymore, but back then, we had cattle. Things are different. You actually made some money on the cattle back then. But we did that kind of stuff, and she'd have some hot pancakes on the grill, griddle, and have the hot pancakes ready when we come in. So we'd have a hot breakfast and some coffee. We'd sit around and talk about the issues of the day and stuff like that. And then when the kids came for Christmas dinner, I never ate much that morning because I starved myself for Christmas dinner so I could go out and enjoy a big meal,
Oh, yeah, be nice and hungry so you get big out.
Did we ever? And my grandmother, she would never, we didn't have small plates. She'd have the big oval plates, she used serving plates for our main dish, our main plates. And I'd load that up with turkey dressing, mashed potatoes, and she had corn, and it was all that stuff. Loaded it all in there, and I'd go back for seconds, and after the seconds, I'd be so full, I'd be ready to burst, you know. And then, of course, dessert.
Oh, I know. I'd always have some mashed turkey or, you know, mashed potatoes with gravy or whatever. And
just butter everything in that gravy. Dressing up a little bit of cranberry stuff on the dressing, sweeten a little bit. That was good. Oh, that was good. And then of course, big pumpkin slice of pumpkin pie, and maybe some. And she'd have ice cream on top of that. And we just stick it. I remember she put the pumpkin pie in the oven for a little bit, just get it warm, and then put ice cream on top. But it just started to melt a little bit. It was good. And whipped cream on top of that. That's right. She put whipped cream. We didn't worry about diets back then. Of course, we worked everything off. I was skinny. I mean, I was actually underweight. I couldn't gain weight. I ate all the time and never gained weight. Everybody thought I had a tapeworm living in me because I just couldn't put weight on. You know, but now I'm gained weight, you know. But back then, you know, when I was in high school and grade school, actually, because that's when I started doing all this work. You know, we worked, and it was cold. I think cold weather actually helps you lose weight, too, because, you know, your body has to keep warm, and that takes calories to keep your body warm. The cold kind of fighting against it. So we had some really good memories there. And, of course, you know, Thanksgiving is the same way, you know. We didn't open gifts, of course, but then Thanksgiving, we'd sit around and, you know, do the same thing. We put our Christmas stuff up Thanksgiving night, and then we put that up.
Mm-hmm. We do it the next week, and then get everything, set up, and I love the smell of the Christmas tree, and I don't know if they have that up your way, but... they have Christmas tree farms, and you can actually dig up the roots and everything. So when you're done with having it in the house for Christmas, you have a hole dug out in the yard all ready for it, and two or three of you go out, grab it at the base, carry it over, and... you end up with pine trees all over your yard. That was pretty fun. You know, doing that. And, God, those... You kind of look back and you reminisce. You know, now that both of our parents are gone and... Now, you still got your mom. Right?
What's that say again?
I said, do you still have your mom?
Yeah, my mom's still around yet, so.
Oh, you're lucky.
Okay.
You know.
She's 86 years old.
Mm-hmm. That was the age when my dad died. And, you know, what are you going to do? It's, part of the living cycle, and when the good Lord calls you home, you can't say, one more Christmas. He just calls you home, and you go. I mean, you know, that's a kind of sad thing, is when, you know, you have to...
Like I said, you know. I know what you mean. You know, that first year, you know, when you lose your parents and stuff, that's the worst. After that, you get a little more adjusted to it. And I look at it this way, my friend, is, you know, that's part of life, you know. We're all going to end up there the same way, and our kids are going to miss us when we pass away. And then someday they'll pass away, and their kids will be the same way. It's just not going to, it's just the way it is. And life is a test. I believe it's a test. And, like I said, the part of death is actually a natural part of living, and there's nothing on this earth that lives forever. No, every tree, every living organism dies, and that's part of it, you know. And we have to. I accept it, and you know, I mean, I'm curious, you know, about what lies beyond and what it's going to be like. But I do believe the Bible You know, they say it's going to be paradise beyond our wildest dreams, and I do believe it will be because, unlike politicians, they can promise paradise. God will promise and deliver it, and it will be. We probably won't have a penny to our name, but then we don't need a penny because everything will be provided to us. Our happiness will be eternal, and there'll be no sadness. There'll be no shedding tears up in heaven. It'll be all happiness and no sickness. Frigid weather, we don't have to worry about freezing to death, and we don't have to worry about anything really. Everything will be, you know, it'll be worry-free, and that's the way I believe it. And that's part of paradise is no worries, you know, don't have nothing to worry about, internal happiness. There'll be no sadness, which is great, I think. I mean, that's my opinion, and, you know, but I
really
say paradise, you know.
I mean, when you know, when the Lord calls you over, you have no needs and you have no wants, and you know, from that time I crossed over a few years back. Yeah, there's parts of that I don't remember at all, but there's other halves, you know, where, like meeting Jesus, burned my etched into my brain as far as it will go. I mean, that's, you know, right in there, and, you know, it's nice knowing that you have a preview box of what's going on today. So, I mean, I don't worry about it too much, you know. This year, you know, being the first year without my dad. So, the dad call, been on, my dad has his favorite breakfast place, and we go on his, we used to go on Christmas morning sometimes, and we'd have him on, let me see, Route 2, basically, every place had a chow spot. And you just, you know, pull over, pack out where you're taking them home. And I go right in and you go grab it, you know. Yeah, grab that piece of chicken or the last of the meatballs and what else I'm trying to think from back in the old days. Probably my favorite Christmas. We were living in a little town called Tolland. And we had a fire engine that had the initial Tolland on the sides. And we looked down like to the river there. It was fun looking, you know, seeing that. And we still have those Tonka toys.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I remember getting Tonka toys from my son when he was a baby, and he took good care of them. He still got those, too, and he took really good care of them. I mean, he kept them clean. I mean, we got a little dirt on them. We wiped them up and kept them clean. They looked, you know, I just saw them just the toys just a little while ago. And they looked just like they were on the store shelf yet. They looked brand new. You know, he took good care of them. And the thing is, those toys, even though you don't play with them anymore, but the thing is, those toys bring back memories. And over time, those things are going to bring, I mean, they're going to be valuable, you know, because they're going to eventually get to something else. And, you know, and those things will be like antiques over time. It's like my toys are actually antique now. So, you know. I remember getting an old combine and stuff way back, and when you could push it on the ground, there was like some gears from the tires, you know, gears that would run like the header. You could see the auger turn in front, and the reel would turn and stuff like that, and it looked like you're actually combining with it, you know. And baler is the same way. They had a little flywheel on it, and the tire run the flywheel, and it had a little plunger. You can see that plunger going around, and the pickup teeth turning, and the little auger in there turning, you know. And it was simple, but at the same time, it kept us busy for hours, you know. Actually, I tried baling hay with it. Didn't do a very good job, but I tried to bale hay and grass in there. It didn't really cut the grass very good. But anyway, you know, kids are experimented, you know, with it and stuff like that. But we had a lot of fun with that kind of stuff, you know. Little kids, it does a lot for your imagination, you know. But
I thought it was funny that some real old ladies take scuba diving course. Diving episodes. I'm telling you, I was miserable. But, you know, we've had a blessed childhood.
Yeah,
compared to what kids have today. You know, where the houses are not nearly dressed up.
We didn't have the computers. We didn't have the cell phones. We didn't have VCRs or DVD players back then. And guess what, Dan? We were happy. We didn't need that stuff. You know?
Oh, no. I mean, I've said this before on the show. Give me a stick and I could be happy. I mean, didn't take me much.
I remember going hunting and stuff in the wintertime when we'd, of course, nowadays animal rights activists would have a call about that, but we'd go out hunting rabbits and raccoons, and we'd take the pelts in, you know, and they'd pay us for the pelts, and I made a lot of money one winter, you know, hunting with my dad, you know. We hunted that, and we didn't trap, really. We just, you know, took the .22 out, and, you know, they didn't want the pelt shot up or anything too badly, but, you know, we'd shoot one little bullet hole through the head, and of course, we'd take them in. Rabbits, I remember, I think at the time were like 75 cents, and coons were like $7, and we took them in. If they're beat up too bad, they'd pay us less, but if they, you know, just that little hole in the head or something to kill it, you know. We were humane. That was a very humane way of killing it, and took them in. And, by the way, they actually encouraged, the Game and Fish Department actually encouraged it, because raccoons were, you know, tearing people's roofs off their house. They're really a nuisance animal. I mean, you can have them for pets, but the thing is, when they're in the wild, they'll tear the roofs off the house. They pull them off of their claws, and guess what? It costs you a lot of money getting that all repaired. And rabbits, you get too many, you're running them over anyway with the vehicles, you know. When they'll run right in front of you, just kind of like a deer, and you run over them because you can't stop anyway, you know. They get right in front of you, and the thing is, they get...
Yeah, and then you end up with a rabbit.
Yeah. And the thing is, they get too many of them out there, they get overpopulated, and they starve to death because they have the food runs out. Okay? So
right.
too many deer is the same way, you know.
Well, it's what happened is we took away all the predators. You know, man is the only predator now. So, you know, what they should do is
open up a doe hunting season. That's just as long as the buck until they can get the population down.
Just to a manageable level, and then they get, they won't allow them to go extinct. You know, they'll stop if it gets too. Population gets too small or too short, then guess what happens? The hunting season gets suspended. They won't send out licenses, but if you get too many, at one time we could get like 3-4 deer a year. And now it's one because there's less deer, so they cut it back to one a year, but it provided meat, for people who are hungry. Like you go to the Salvation Army, you can donate meat there, and people are starving. I mean, that's a godsend to them. They have food, And they edible, I mean, and it's the same thing with, I guess rabbit used to be really good eating. It's like chicken, People eat rabbit.
Well,
and, it's a wild game. If it's prepared properly, it's delicious. And we'd hunt, we'd have the meat in the freezer for the winter, and it saved money. We didn't probably have to do it. We weren't poor, but at the same time, it was good eating the food. I think or deer meat's better for you than beef because it doesn't have the fat content in it like beef does. And people would eat too much beef, like too much hamburger, would have heart problems. But if you eat venison, it never caused problems with the heart. And it still did the same thing that meat did. You have to have meat, by the way. These vegetarians saying that you can replace protein with vegetables, you can't. There's a certain type of protein, a beta, whatever it is, and meat that you can't get from any vegetable, and you got to eat it. Otherwise, if we weren't designed to eat meat like rabbits, we wouldn't have been given canine teeth. We got canine teeth like dogs do. They're not as pronounced, but they're still there, and that's why we need, and that's why we eat meat, because our system.
Well, I mean, if you look at our teeth, they're kind of like resemble a bear,
They do.
because the bear is an omnivore. They eat the, veggies and, berries and things. And, a bear will eat anything you put in front of her, really.
Exactly, yeah. They're like people. If you put some honey in front of them, they just love honey. Anything sweet. So they got a sweet tooth just like we do,
Oh, yeah, and, they'll even eat people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as I said, they're like humans in that, hey, listen, you're there and it's not poisonous, you're on the menu.
We don't have any problems with bears in North Dakota or anything like that, but they're occasionally they have a moose, and the moose can be pretty violent too. They'll destroy a pickup truck, they'll attack pickups and stuff, or deer.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of moose doing it, but moose, I've had moose meat, from moose and from elk, and I'll tell you what, it's delicious. It has its unique flavor. I remember having elk meat, and it seemed to me, if I remember correctly, it was a little sweeter than most meat, but it was good. It was delicious. And boar meat,
yeah.
I had that from boar. I wish you had boar up here, because I would love to hunt wild boar. It's better than a regular, boar meat is really good eating,
We got boar all over the place, they're a nuisance, because what they do is they get in and, boars like to eat roots and things, and what they do is they use those lower tusks. And it's kind of like a digging machine. It's almost like a track hoe. And they'll just rip up anything. It almost looks like a tiered, after you
you getting ready to plant? You know, when you, what do they call it? When they till it?
Uh-huh.
It kind of looks like that, the ground.
Cultivated, yeah. Well, what happens with boards, our farmers would hate them because what they do is they'd rut up the soil. They'd ruin the soil. They'd dig up and there'd be a little rut there, a little hole. They'd just make that, they'd make a hole there and they'd rut it up. I don't know, they're looking for something to eat or something in the ground. And there'd be other spots that'd be higher up and then you'd be driving over the equipment and you'd be bouncing around. And I mean, they just ruined the soil. So they'd wanted them shot. And of course, you'd have the meat off of it, but the farmers hated that too. And plus, they would, boars would actually kill. So I think they just killed sometimes, not to eat it, but just to kill. You know, if you invaded their territory, they would actually attack a person or child. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
They'd attack you, and they'd use those tusks, and those tusks can be lethal. And they wouldn't eat it. They maybe would if they're hungry, but sometimes they just, you know, they look at us as invaders. Even if they walk onto our land, you know, if we're standing out in the yard, we'd still be invading. Even though they come into our land, they'd still attack us because they want that area. See, they're kind of like territorial. They would claim that claim, and if we're invader, well, they attack us. And I've seen where they go after people, even hunting them and stuff, and you have to be really quick on the draw to stop one of them. And one guy shot one as like 2 feet away before he shot it and killed it. Hit it in the head. It went down right away. But he said if he wouldn't have shot it, he said he would have had emergency surgery on his leg because those tusks will rip up a leg really bad, you know. And they get deep. I mean, and they're dirty and there'd be infection and stuff because those tusks, they root in the dirt for that. And you can imagine you'll get dirt in the wound.
You get the lead boar, and what they do is they go out to protect, and what they'll do is they'll charge you, and what you have to do is just keep your nerves calm, you know, when he's coming towards you, so, you know, aim a little low, and just pull that trigger, and hopefully you get your shot. Oh, you scare them enough, one of the two. You know, if they hear a bullet going right by their ear, I think it'd be like, ugh, they don't like that noise. But I don't like them.
When they're mad, when they get mad, you know it, because they'll start screaming bloody murder, those boars. If you ever heard a boar when they're angry, they just start screaming loud, and you know that they're angry when you hear that. You know they're feisty. You know they're looking for a fight.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, they'll attack anything when they get in a mood. Most of the time they do most of their chowing at night, so most of the time during the day you don't see them. But once in a while you'll see like a little pond or, you know, muddy pond, and you'll see four or five of them sitting in it. And that brings you to
lay in the mud. They don't have sweat glands like people do. So they get all full of mud. They lay in the mud to cool off, you know, they get mud on them.
Mm-hmm.
Pigs full of mud. And the tame pigs aren't so bad, but even boars, you know, we had domesticated boars, you know, we bought them for breeding, you know. And they could be a little mean, too. They had the tusks, too, but they were more, I don't know, more domesticated. They weren't, you know, we could walk around them, they wouldn't attack. But if you kind of like, if a sow is in heat, a boar would probably chase you out of there because they want that sow. You know, they'd run you out. But if you stayed far enough away, they wouldn't bother you, you know. But a wild boar,
you
can be far enough away. If they see you, they're coming after you. You know, it doesn't matter, you know. That's a little difference between a tame animal and a wild animal, you know. But, you know, that's one thing about people. They'll sit there and think they can tame wildlife. And, yeah, they might be able to tame them, but wildlife will still act on instincts. You know, people raise lions, you know, oh, they're so tame, they're so gentle, and they probably are until they get hungry, then they eat the trainer. You know, I mean, that's just instinctive. You know, that's just
what
the animals
what
behave. They,
what is it, Siegfried and Roy in Vegas? They're the ones with the white tigers. One of the tigers ate one of the guys. You know, spooked the guy, and tiger one swat right across his face, and guy was down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their claws are huge.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, take a look at a brown bear. Those things are miserable.
I know. And I said, like I said, I can live with regular cats, domesticated cats, you know, tame cats, house cats. But some people that want to have a big tiger or a bobcat in their house, oh, they can have them. I not want nothing to do with them because, just like I said, animals are instinctive. They don't have reason abilities in their brain. They, you know, if they get hungry, instincts kick over, and a little house cat isn't going to eat a person, you know. But a big cat will, and they might miss you after they eat you, but their instincts kick over and they eat, and then after that they're full again, everything's satisfied. But when they're hungry, like I said, you know, they if they see a meal, that comes first, you know, because they just don't have the reasoning like we do. We know it's wrong to take a human life, or, you know, but they don't understand that. They don't have that type of cognitive skills in their brain where we do, you know.
Right.
You know.
They want to figure out whether or not you're edible. And
that's true.
You know, if you are, then you're on the dinner table.
That's why you have lions for pets. Make sure they're well fed so you don't become their meal, people. You know?
That happens a lot of people. My pet, somebody died the other day from Lou Gehrig's disease.
Okay.
That's what he got. In its latter stages, it, like age. And you get a ton.
I've heard of that disease. I don't think I've ever had, known anybody that ever had that disease, Lou Gehrig's. I've heard of it. I'm not even sure what that disease does to a person. I've, you know, like I said, you know, when we had Jennifer on, you know, she talked about her sister, relative that had MS, multiple sclerosis. And a lot of people probably heard of it, but they don't know what it does to a person, see. And there are similarities to Parkinson's disease with MS, you know. It's different, but it's some similarities. MS affects everything. If you ever go on YouTube, check out, there's an actress, I don't know if you heard of Terry Garr, but she has MS, and it even affects the skin, you know, it even affects your skin, but she's in a little more advanced stages of it, but she's in a wheelchair, and it just gets worse and worse, and Annette Funicello is one that, if you want to check out, I mean, she got to the point, she was completely helpless. It's a horrible disease. Because their brain is still working, you know, they're still around, but they can't do anything. They can't even eat or nothing, you know. So it's a horrible thing to have, you know. So, you know.
Well, the problem is, with Lou Gehrig's, it hits so many different vital organs. You know, it doesn't hit one thing, it hits a bunch of things. And it's basically very similar to multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
You know Stephen Hawking?
No, I don't know him. He had it?
And flight bar gave it to him. And killed the hare, and he recovered okay. But they were showing pictures, and they kind of shake some things. And then I said, they're a mess. Because
anyway.
Oh, I'm trying to read something. But the that's a real nasty illness to have, and I've seen a couple of people die of it. Very similar to MS.
Parkinson's. Another person, if you ever want to check out, if you remember Dudley Moore, he had something similar to Parkinson's, a little different. It was something else. But read what he had. He suffered from that too. And you have kind of like, with him, it's kind of like, you know, like if you're drinking, you know, and you're stumbling and stuff. But he wasn't drinking. I mean, he didn't drink. He just, you know, people thought he was, because he was slurring his words and stuff like that. And eventually, I mean, he died from it too, but he, just check him out sometime. And that was something else. I can't remember what it was, but it was a unique, very rare disease, but it was similar to Parkinson's, but it wasn't Parkinson's. It's like an offshoot from Parkinson's. You know,
right.
The muscle stuff. So
that's what the Lou Gehrig. You know Stephen Hawking?
No, I don't
the
know
scientist.
Him. I haven't heard of him. Well, scientist.
He has Lou Gehrig's.
Oh, okay. So
and see how he's kind of all twisted up and could no longer talk at the end of his life. He had Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, doesn't it affect the brain too? It messes, you know, where you can't talk, or is it just a muscle thing?
It's a muscle thing because, his brain, he's one of the most brilliant physicist of our generation. And he did most of his stuff with Lou Gehrig's disease. But
so
he couldn't talk.
Like some of these diseases affect the brain, you know, some of them do. You know, so that one didn't. So I don't understand. Like I said, I'll have to do some research when the show's over today and check it out, because I don't, you know, I've heard of it. Like I said, I just don't know what it details. But from what you were telling me, they're all horrible. There's no such thing as a disease that's pleasant. You know, they're all horrible, and it's a horrible way to go, you know. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. But he was supposed to only make it 2 years, and he was diagnosed when he was still at Oxford in his 20s. He made it till he was in his 70s. So, I mean, I guess he can, but he had to have a respirator. He communicated by a thing he put in the mouth and hit the keyboard and that type of thing. It was like, oh, God, that would be terrible. Because you couldn't have a spontaneous conversation because you couldn't talk. You know, you had to program it into the computer, and then it would answer.
Wow. I tell you,
so,
you know, I guess, you know, Dan, we should probably feel pretty lucky. You know, having diabetes like I have, that's nothing compared to these other diseases that people have. And diabetes, and, I mean, I know you have, your heart's really bad, but still you can function pretty good yet, and you can communicate pretty good. So we're probably blessed. I mean, everybody, when you get into your 60s and your 70s, you're going to have something going wrong. You're going to have something, some malady is going to affect you. And diabetes, well,
yeah.
Like I said, it's treatable. It's treatable, and if you eat a proper diet, well, you can live a pretty good life with it. And it's nothing I want. I'm sure you don't want your bad heart, but like I said, it's not the worst thing. At least you can function. Your brain functions good, and you can still get around, you know. And that's just, you know, like I said, natural part of living is dying, you know. And that's, I guess that's how we, you know, when you get the older things, eventually our bodies wear out, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happened to the best of us. I mean, you know, my great uncle, he made it to 96 as a Franciscan priest. My Uncle Ray might have a pretty good line. You know, my mother's had heart disease, and everybody else was in perfect shape. I can tell. I mean, you know, today we're running around. We have, I forgot what I was saying, but you know, as I said, you know, with my heart, yeah, it kind of bites and everything like that. But the good thing is, I know I'm not going to have cancer. You know?
Exactly.
You know, so one thing ain't going to get you, another thing is.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, and
should have in life, Dan, one thing we need is we need to enjoy life as best as we can. I don't let things get me down. I just can't do that. That's, depression is a form of stress, and that's hard on your body. And I just don't, like I said, I'm going to enjoy life. I enjoy laughter, and you do too. We both enjoy laughter. And I think that's healthy. I really believe that. The doctors even said that. Laughter doesn't hurt anything, they tell me. It doesn't hurt a thing. It's certain, and they actually believe it actually prolongs your life. You know, if you're walking around miserable, well, you're stressed out, and that does, their body doesn't, you know, it does raises havoc with your body when you stressed out all the time. You know, my dad was always under stress, and he had diabetes, and his blood sugar was like 400 all the time. He couldn't get it down. Well, I'm not stressed out, and mine's almost normal. So that tells you something. If you live life and enjoy life, and you read this in the Bible, strive for happiness. That's where our founders, actually, their country did the same thing, pursuit of happiness, and that's what provides a good long life. You know.
So
anyway.
You know, Jesus had a good life until he, you know, right up to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was in perfect shape.
Mm-hmm.
So you can live with some of these diseases a long time too.
Oh yeah.
At least with heart disease, when it finally goes, it goes. Yeah. You know,
exactly.
And it's like a spring.
Look at the friends that you made over the course of time, my friend. You know, that should give you comfort, and it does me. I mean, we have celebrities that are friends of ours, and they care about us. You know, they want the best. I mean, and they pray for us. And that means a lot to me, you know, and I know it means a lot to you too, my friend. You know, so.
That wouldn't be a bad, you know. I wouldn't mind doing that. I don't worry about how the good Lord's going to take me. You know, my uncle died, between, what was it, 80 and 90, maybe 5 to 95. 85
to 90, you said?
He died in his 80s or 90s.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Well, he
you know. Well, if you make it into your 90s, you're doing pretty well.
Exactly. My grandmother, she had diabetes like I did, and it's about the same. She kept it pretty low. And she also had heart problems, just like I inherited. I think I inherited that from her, and she lived to almost 100 years old. So, see, even with those things, you can probably live longer than the normal, you know, with people who are healthy. I've heard of people who are in excellent shape, too, my friend, in excellent shape, all almost keel over dead, you know, probably 65, 70 years old. They work out, and they've got muscles built up and stuff like that, and you say, oh, this guy's going to make 100 easy. Nope. 65 years old, they just keel over and die. Now, I've heard people where they're not in good shape live to around 100. So sometimes, you know, life can throw a monkey wrench at you sometimes, see? Sometimes what you think will happen won't happen, and vice versa. You know, so, you know, that's, you know, so I witnessed that myself, you know. Anyway, Dan?
Yeah.
What?
I'm almost
what?
Here. I'm still here. We got 25 minutes. I was just thinking
okay,
about
sure.
something.
Oh, okay.
But,
do you want to finish the show now, or do you want to just wrap it up at the top of the hour, or do you want to finish it now? Because we did pretty good, and I want to get a little something to eat. I'm getting hungry, really hungry as a bear right now, and we can just finish it now. It was a good show, and we discussed some stuff, I guess it's around Christmas, and we could just wrap it up now, and then after New Year's here, we'll open up, we'll have a whole new venue here, and see if we get guests, and I'll have more time now since we got all this combining done, and I'm kind of burnt out from working these long, long, some 16 to sometimes 20-hour days. I worked one day, a couple days are 20 hours. That's too much for one person. I'm 64. I told Dave I can't do this anymore. It just wears me out. But anyway, why don't we just wrap it up, and then after the first of the year, and we'll go on the air again. And I tell you what, when we get up to Christmas, I'll give you a call on Christmas and wish you a Merry Christmas. I do want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I want to wish all of our listeners a Merry Christmas. And we had a great time today. And like I said, both of us are kind of tired. We're just wore out, and, you know, and well, I'll be refreshed after the first of the year. So I'm just going to get a bite to eat, and I might even take a nap this afternoon. I got to get caught up here. So anyway,
well, I didn't sleep last night, so that was my problem.
Okay, but let's wrap it up. And do you have any last words there, Dan? And I'll let you close out the show. And if you want to play one of those Christmas tunes, pick out a Christmas tune, or you can play anything you want. Doesn't matter either. So, but anyway,
hold on, let me,
show, my friend.
Let me get my let's call it up again. New computer, so it's not behaving the way I want it to. yeah, I'm. Let me see. Oh, my favorite song. Okay, we're gonna end up with my Silent Night, and everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. Whatever other days you got. But goodwill to all mankind, as Linus said. And We'll see you on, maybe we'll do a short show on Christmas. And from there, there we go.